All right, so there were guys that were hunting for pig because they were running out of pork. And as you know or may not know, there's the island is covered with pigs. And that's a good source of their nutrition and meat is pork. So they send, every so often, they'll send guys out to hunt for pig. And then there'll be guys that just want to fish or whatever. And so they're out there hanging out. And still, which is really commonplace at this point, is you'll have guys doing fishing over here, guys hunting, and then by himself sometimes, sometimes not. You'll have Bob Pilgrim out there on the shore looking out at the waves, praying like he always does. He interacts with everybody, but sometimes a certain part of the day, he'll look out there and be looking for his family, praying, always wondering when he's going to see him again, if he's going to see him again, because he's very aware that there's no guarantees in this life. Sometimes it's just hard. So, Captain No Eyes called everybody together, and everybody came running from different parts, and they huddled up inside the cave, and he said, all right, this is what we're going to do today, because they'd always kind of have a mission for the day, unless they were recently on a mission, then they'd relax or whatever. So they thought they'd set sail, and he told Mr. Courage and Mr. Navigator, who keeps track of the charts of the ship, making, he's like a map maker, but on the boat you call them charts. So he kind of directs Mr. Courage where to go, and what he marks off the islands that they visited, and they're marking off islands that they've checked for Bob Pilgrim's family. So they had a meeting with Captain No Eyes, and they had a meeting with everybody talking about, this is what we're going to do. We're going to go to explore another island and just check things out. So they said, all right. So they take the little boats out, and they get on the Protector of the Innocent, and they check everything, floors, everything's clean, sails are good, there's no holes, there's no bird poop on the masts or anything like that. Everything's good to go. So they take off, shove off, and pull up the oar or pull up the anchors, and off they go. So it was already kind of late morning, so they head in another direction that they've been through thousands of times, because if they go to each island and leave that same island, their same hideout, they're going to see the same stuff. So by now, they knew everything really well. Well, they had been floating and sailing for quite some time. Those big, huge clipper ships is what the Protector of the Innocent had. And then you see Bob Pilgrim always looking out, always, always praying, always looking, and there's guys praying with them, like Mr. Faith and Mr. Serve and all those guys. And Mr. Courage is piloting the boat, and Mr. Navigator is talking quietly, talking about which way they're headed and which way is the winds blowing and things like that. Well, they see an island, that their target island that they've targeted to go check that out. And they've never been to that island before. And as it gets closer and closer on the horizon, they see that it's an island that's covered in like a low fog. Now, they've experienced fog before, and I think that was the fog of confusion, Caleb, right? They are confused, and so they were a little apprehensive about the fog. But they said, all right, we're going over there. So since the whole area was fogged, they couldn't see around it. So as they got closer, emerging from the fog, out of nowhere, right on top of him immediately, was a black ship with black sails. And they fired on him. And they fired a bunch of shots on him and busted up the protector of the innocent in a moment. And one of the things that happened, and that has never happened, is in one of the shots, somehow, some way, a experienced, surly, sure-footed man of Mr. Courage somehow fell off the boat. And before they were attacked in the fog, they were worried about what was going on with the innocent people on the island. So Mr. Courage falls off the boat, and he thought maybe, just maybe, somebody else might have. He thought he saw somebody else fly off the boat, but he wasn't sure. And he looked up, waiting for somebody to pick him back up. And Captain Noah saw that their situation was dire. It was not good. So Captain Noah literally thought that their ship was going to break apart because they had been hit by cannon fire and shrapnel so hard. So Captain Noah said, go help the people. See what's going on out there. So Mr. Courage didn't want to leave his boat. That was his baby. He piloted that boat. He took care of that boat. He knew all the creaks and knocks and everything that went on with it, but he wanted to obey his captain. So he started to swim towards that foggy island. And he had no idea. He had no idea what he was swimming into. He didn't know who was there. He didn't know what was there. He didn't know if anybody was there. He just knew he was headed to a foggy island. So, and he kept thinking, did anybody else fall off the boat? Or did I? Or did somebody else? How many people?
Repeat like the last.
So, Mr. Courage does what he needs to do. Swims to the island. Gets to the shore, and fortunately, he had on him his sword. You know, pirates have swords, and he usually had his sidearm, and he did have his sidearm, but it was wet, and the gunpowder is wet. When you have wet gunpowder, your gun will not fire. It will not work. It's like trying to start a campfire with soggy wood that's been soaking in the water. It just doesn't work. So, all he had was his sword. And he was under instructions to Captain No Eyes to check out the innocent people on the island. So he drew his sword. Shing! And he walked around. And Mr. Courage is a big guy. And there was a bunch of trees on the outskirts of the island. And the trees started thinning. But there, remember, there's fog, so he doesn't know what he's seeing because the fog is still real low. And he gets out to what he thinks is a clearing because the fog is so thick. He could hold his hand out roughly a foot to a foot and a half long, and he can't see his hand. It was so thick. And he started hearing screams and yells and, "Stop it! Leave me alone!" But he couldn't run because he didn't know what was in front of him. And he had his sword. And he got closer in this clearing and closer and closer. And then he saw one guy run, like running fast. Ah! Just this crazy look on his face. And then another guy ran into Mr. Courage and he said, "If you know what's smart for you, you'll get out of here." And he said, "Wait, where?" And and another guy, "I don't want to talk to you, I'm out of here." And just running, everybody running. And more people. And Mr. Courage says, "Well, I'm just one guy. Maybe I could get these guys to fight with me." Well, he started trying to stop him. "Stop, stop, stop. Stop, stop, we'll figure out something." And people were, at this point, they were so afraid that they weren't even looking to pay attention to Mr. Courage. They were just like, "Ah!" And one guy He was so afraid, and he didn't care about anything. He had a runny nose, and just it had been running for a really long time because there was like boogers and stuff. And he was like, "You have to get out of here!" And he's like, "Stop! I can help you." No! And he kicked him to break him free, and he left. And so everybody's going that way. And so he thought, "Well, what's the deal?" And then a whole rush of people. Just all ran by him, and he's trying not to get trampled. And so with everybody near the water, near the shore, he thought, well, man, I guess that's the whole town. And he said, I guess they're all safe. So he decided to lay down in the tall grass just to see if he can wait for the fog to lift, you know, and so that he can see. So he just stayed there for a while, and he started hearing clanging and laughing, like, ha, 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 and people saying not nice things, like, you're a jerk, get away from my horse, or give me my gun, or give me my knife, I sharpened that, not you, you turd, you know, things like that. They were like, didn't sound like nice people at all. And then there were, then they would fight amongst themselves. And it was all foggy. Those stupid townspeople, stupid like you. And he's like, oh, what do you mean? And you can actually physically hear them punching each other. And there are big punches like, boom, bah, boom, you know. And he thought, man, these guys are huge. What's the deal? But he was all by himself. Furthermore, he heard cannon fire behind him. And he was wondering how his comrades were doing because he left them. Remember, Captain No Eyes was worried about the ship sinking, and he didn't know if sometimes the black ship with black sails guys, if they win a battle, they'll just fire a cannon in the air just to celebrate. So he was afraid that that was what might be going on, and he knew he was the only one. So he decided he'd crawl closer to whatever he was hearing. Now, his name is Mr. Courage, but it doesn't mean that Mr. Courage is never afraid. Because Mr. Courage was afraid, but the very definition of courage is doing something that's courageous or that's brave, but it doesn't say that whoever is courageous or has courage is not afraid. He was afraid. So part of being courageous or Mr. Courage is doing the right thing even though you're afraid. And that is who he was. Because I think a lot of times with these guys, we think they're not afraid, but all that they're doing is they're just doing the right thing. And so he decides he's close enough. He stands up, and he's pretty afraid. He can feel his knees knocking, but he sucks in a deep breath, and he's like, no. And he remembers who's more powerful than all these guys, and he remembers Jesus is more powerful. And he grips his sword, and he thought, well, this will be interesting. And he yells, he goes, hey! And then all the clanging, all the neighing of the horses, all the fighting, all the insults stop. And then they go, who's that? And Mr. Courage thought, he doesn't even know who all they are. And he said, I'm Mr. Courage. And what sounded like thousands of people laughing, laughed. Ha, 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 ha. And he can't see anything. And he said, who are you? And they said, we're awesome. We are men, and we're going to tear you up. And he said, again, remember, he's Mr. Courage, but he's afraid, but he's needing to do the right thing. He needs to protect the people behind him. Because that's the other thing. During this conversation, he heard another conversation of them wanting to go get the people because they were so afraid and terrorized them. And they said, "You're in our way from getting those weak people." And Mr. Courage says, "You're right, you're going to have to get through me." And in the back of his mind, "Oh my gosh, I'm just one guy with a sword." So they all laugh again. "Ha, ha, ha, ha." And Mr. Courage had some courage and he said, "It's okay. You probably fight like six-year-old little girls." And then they start getting angry. "What?" And right about that time, the fog lifts a little bit, not a lot, but a little bit to where he can see that there's hundreds of men standing there. And they're not six-year-old little girls. They're men with big, smelly beards and bodies and huge arms, and they have shields and swords. He just has a sword. And he turns to look behind him. All he sees is fog. But he hears like women and children crying and babies. And he turns and looks at him and he says, "You will not get past me." But there's hundreds of them. And he says, "If you want to fight, I'm ready for a fight, because I think you fight like six-year-old little girls." And it got him even more angry. And there was a guy in the back he spotted just amongst the droves of people. This guy was like, and he was hitting his head and banging his head. And one guy was taking a beer bottle and smacking his head with the beer bottle because he was so angry. And Mr. Courage laughed. It wasn't like a ha 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 like they were, but it was kind of like ha 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 ha. But he knew he had to deep inside, dig deep, because all he had was his sword and him. And then out of nowhere, somebody goes, "Ha ha ha, what's going on?" And he turned around. It's Mr. Pencil, soaking wet. And Mr. Courage says, Do you have something to fight with?" And he says, "I got some pencils." And he says, "Pencils? Mr. Pencil, look." And he said, "Oh, a pocket knife. You got a pocket knife. And another knife. Okay, you're going to need the, okay." And Mr. Courage says, "Now, my chances doubled to defeat you, six-year-old little girls." And he was scared to death. But again, he was doing the right thing. And so they threw down their bottles and threw down whatever they're holding and their chicken legs or whatever they're eating. And they charged after him, first with horses and them riding the horses and running. And they were yelling and screaming and he could smell them coming. And he stood there with his sword, and Mr. Pencil stood there with his pencils and his pocket knife and his little knife. And Mr. Pencil, the last thing Mr. Courage heard Mr. Pencil say is, "I think we're a little outnumbered." And Mr. Courage decided that he was going to jump right into the fray. So he ran, took a running start as they were running, and he picked one guy to run through. He was just going to plow him over, duck, and drive his shoulder into the man, and just like he learned from his childhood or earlier about how to tackle, and he drove himself into that guy, and then he jumped off that guy into the fray and amazingly landed on the ground and started swinging his sword. And he had no idea where Mr. Pencil was, and he thought the only way they had a chance is to get together. So he was fighting through these guys, just sword after sword, and stabbing and slashing and hitting and elbowing and kicking. And he kept saying, "Mr. Pencil! Mr. Pencil!" And he heard Mr. Pencil, "How about this pencil and that pencil and that knife and that foot?" And he said, "Get over here!" And they got to where they could get their backs to each other. So they were back to back. So Mr. Pencil could see that way, and Mr. Courage could see that way. And they kept turning. And every person that tried to get in their space, they'd punch or kick or stab or slash or stab with his pencil or whatever they had, and or kick or hit or whatever. And they did that for a long time. And remember, there were hundreds of guys. And they, if you can think of like a wheel just spinning and spinning, and they wouldn't spin. There wasn't enough time to spend like two punches on a guy. You had to punch and spin, and get them off their feet. And they kept coming. Like a wagon wheel, they kept spinning and spinning. And then they go the other direction and try to compensate. And then they started trying to make their wheel bigger, so they kind of stepped away from each other to cover more ground. And his hand was getting tired, but he knew he couldn't let go of his sword. And he was stabbing and slashing and cutting and hitting and elbowing and kicking and arm barring or whatever he could do. And Mr. Pencil was doing the same thing. And Mr. Pencil would see his pen. He's like, "Oh, you broke my pencil! Well, I'll break my knife off in your..." And then there was a loud noise, like a... "Meh!" And so he didn't hear what else he had to say. "How about this? Oh, my God!" And Mr. Pencil was holding his own. Because even Mr. Pencil thought, "If I stop fighting, I'm going to die." And Mr. Courage knew that at this point, there wasn't any time to be afraid. He just had to keep fighting, because he knew that there was people behind them, that they had to keep these guys busy, and they weren't going to attack the people until they got Mr. Pencil and Mr. Courage dead or arrested or something. So they had to take care of them first, and they took advantage of it. And Mr. Courage had it. The last, he slashed and cut, and he felt like his arm was going to fall off. And he thought, "I can't go anymore. I can't go anymore." And Mr. Pencil thought the same way. And so they started slowing down. So now there was less guys, but they kept fighting and kept feeling like they were losing and they were going to lose their step. So Mr. Courage said, "We have to gain an advantage somehow. We got to get out of here." So they each slashed and cut a couple of guys, and then they just took off. They ran. They just kept running, and they ran toward. They didn't run towards the people. So they ran inside the island internally, and then they climbed up some trees. And they ran fast enough, so they were bigger guys and they couldn't run fast. So they climbed up trees and they were real quiet and real still. And then they kept waiting. And so they were high enough up in the trees that they tried to see what was going on with Captain No Eyes and the crew. And it looked like the ship, there was only the Protector of the Innocent. The other ship wasn't there. So they wondered, what's going on? Is everybody dead on the boat or what? And so they got off they got down from the trees and tried to sneak back until where they went on the shore. And when they snuck around and was hiding in the grass, and they heard all the people, "Hey, where are they? What's going on? Where did those guys go?" And they were looking for him. And they thought, "We're going to have to wait for Captain No Eyes to see if they're okay." Well, they got to a point in the island where they joined the island in the first place. And then they heard somebody throwing rocks. Mr. Pencil said, "What's that?" And Mr. Endurance said, "It's me, Mr. Endurance. We're here, all of us on the island." And Mr. Courage was so busy holding his sword, he said, "Somebody needs to get those guys. We've been taking them all on ourselves." And they said, "Well, let's surprise attack them." And so they, all the whole crew, crawled along the grass, the tall grass, and the fog is still there, and they were going to use it to their advantage. And Captain Noah said, 1, 2, 3, and they went, "Aah!" And they attacked all the bad guys, and there was a huge battle. And again, Mr. Courage and Mr. Pencil were in the middle of the fray, and they subdued and killed all the guys because they weren't going to allow themselves to be arrested, because sometimes when you're fighting sin, you have to be ruthless. And when you're, it just is part of the deal. So after it was all said and done, they didn't know who those guys were. They just were, looked like they were the black ship with black sails crew, but they didn't know what crew they were or who, what they were about. But Mr. Courage looked down at his hands and he was still holding his sword. And somebody said, "Hey, let me take your sword so you could take a rest." And he said, "Sure, go ahead." And he said, "Let me take your sword." And he said, I can't let go." And he said, "Let go." And he said, "I can't let go." His fingers were so tightly around his only weapon that, and his fingers were so tired that he couldn't open up his hand. So they had to peel off his fingers off his sword. Just like in the Bible, when David's mighty men, a man did that. And so Mr. Courage and Mr. Pencil got the rest of the day off, and they protected all the people, and the people were so excited. After all the bad guys were subdued, the fog lifted, and Mr. Courage and Mr. Pencil were called heroes. And they told those two guys and the rest of the crew can come back to the island at any time. But then Mr. Pencil said, "Well, if we come back, just make sure that there's no black ship with black sails crews around here, because that's the last thing we need to do is fight that again." And everybody laughed, and the people laughed, and they cleaned up the man's nose, and they, you know, remember, he just forgot all about his runny nose, and they made sure he was clean and getting the right stuff. And they all went home, and the only two people sleeping below deck were Mr. Courage and Mr. Pencil, because they have earned it. And that is that.